Welcome to 20s Toolbox here on WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Grace Mansfield. Crazy that it's March, everyone. I hope you're all doing well. It's a really crazy time. Tonight, we're going to focus and get real about navigating life, chasing dreams, and trusting yourself along the way. We're really going to dive into the power of listening to your instincts, standing on your own 2 feet, and setting goals that actually mean something to you. Because in today's world, it's really easy to get lost in the noise of everyone else's opinions and lose your own voice in the process. But here's the thing, trusting your gut and being self-reliant is the secret to carving out a path that's totally your own, a path that you really love. And tonight, I'm going to be talking to someone who's not just talking that talk, but walking the walk. Kendall Conrad is a singer-songwriter from Pottstown, PA. Her single, Leader of the Pack, garnered over 26 million views on TikTok and over 1 million plays on SoundCloud. She sang a duet with Keith Urban on stage at Music Fest in Bethlehem, PA. She's also opened for over 40 of the country's hottest artists, including Blake Shelton at the Dick's Sporting Goods Open to a crowd of 18,000, Alabama at the Santander Arena, and Kane Brown. She has performed the national anthem for the Chicago Bulls, Philadelphia Eagles, NASCAR, and many more. Kendall currently serves on the American Red Cross, PA Rivers Chapter, and Allentown Symphony Boards. Kendall, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to talk with you today. You just seem like the coolest person ever. So I cannot wait to hear what you have to say.
I feel the same way about you. So I'm excited to talk to you as well.
Awesome. Let's jump right in. I know I probably mentioned a lot about you in the bio, but before we get started, would you be able to tell our audience a little bit about yourself, your experience, and what you do?
So my name is Kendall Conrad. I am a singer-songwriter and a social media influencer, which has become like a side hustle for me recently, which is it's really cool and fun. So those are my two main gigs. That's who I am. It's not only what I do, but it is who I am. I'm from Pottstown, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour from Bethlehem, and started coming up here and playing gigs and playing shows when I was around maybe 18 or 19 and just kept coming up here. So I really do feel like I am a Lehigh Valleyan. Like, I really do truly feel that way, even though I was, you know, raised in Pottstown, which is crazy. But that's like the short of it. So yeah. I could go on for a very long time, but I'm going to cut it there.
Yeah, the Lehigh Valley. I was born and raised here, but the Lehigh Valley is just, it's a great place to be. It's full of great people, great opportunities. So we're glad you're here.
No, thanks.
But yeah, I mean, 26 million views on TikTok, 1 million plays on SoundCloud. Those are some insane numbers. But you also have a food blog, don't you?
I do.
On Instagram?
Yeah.
How did you get into that?
I started that during COVID. So I started posting pictures of food that was still available, like either for purchase from like the grocery store or restaurants that still had takeout. And they were like, please come and order our food and pick it up at the door. We're adhering to all the COVID policies and restrictions. Please come, you know, support us because this is rough. So I think I really did start the food blog in 2020, which is crazy. So, yeah. And it's still going. So yeah,
that's amazing.
5 years.
Well, let's get into the crux of what we're going to talk about today. First up, let's talk a little bit about self-reliance. What does that mean to you? And why do you think it's important, especially for young adults? And if you had a story, would you be able to share about how being self-reliant has paid off for you?
Yeah, I mean, for what I do, self-reliance is a huge part of it, especially for anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur or, like, you know, go out on their own, because it's, you know, it's your vision and it's your brand and it's yours, and you're not really sharing it, and you don't really have, I mean, you can have like a team at my point, like you can have like the manager and the agent and all of those things, social media management, blah, blah, blah. But it's still, you have to lead it. It has to be your vision and your, and so you can't really ask someone's opinion, you know, on like, well, what do you think of this outfit? Is this like what I want to look like today for this gig, for this show? And at the end of the day, it has to be what I want to wear, you know, and like what I want to say about myself. So self-reliance is really important. And I think when you have that, your confidence is like sky high. Like, you're untouchable if you're really self-reliant, because if you fail, it's you. You can't blame anyone else. Like, there's no one else that you could be like, darn it, I should not have listened to that person, or like, you know, those moments when you can kick yourself and being self-reliant is looking at yourself and being like, it's okay. I still picked it. I chose that decision. It didn't work, but I'm cool with it because it was my idea. So, like, I don't know. I just self-reliance is a huge part of, I feel like, why I'm successful.
How did you get started singing? Like, have you been singing since you were little, or was this kind of just a thing that, you know, grew over time?
I don't even know why I started, but I joined the elementary school choir when I was in the third grade. I think it was the third grade. Joined the choir, and then they had an opportunity where you could audition for a solo for the Disney concert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and everyone was like, all the fifth graders are going to get these solos because they're 2 years older and you don't stand a chance. And I was like, whatever. And I feel like it was third, fourth grade. Like, I got one of the solos. Over the fifth graders. And I was like, I put myself out there and I wanted to do it. And everyone was like, oh, you know, you're wasting your time and all of this stuff. And I wound up getting one.
Yeah.
It's a Little Mermaid.
You're being self-reliant.
Yes.
You know?
I listened to myself. And yes. I'm like, you know, and if I don't get it, that's fine. But I think I would have regretted it, which is another thing.
Yeah.
I think I don't regret anything being self-reliant because it's, you know, yourself guides your decisions. So, like, I don't regret it. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I did it. It was awesome. Oh. But I got started singing with the Disney concert.
It's awesome. Someone's got to start somewhere, right? I've been a singer for 10 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've been an actor for 10 years.
What?
I actually, as an aside for my listeners, I won an outstanding vocal performance award at my high school graduation. Was not even in the program. It was just something that came up.
What?
They announced my name. I was like, oh, this is wild. So it's cool to
good
not only
you.
Be. Thank you so
That's
much.
That's awesome.
So it's not only good to be able to talk about this stuff today with you, but it's also cool to connect the singer.
Oh, absolutely.
The singer network.
This is even cooler now because now you understand. You get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you obviously have a exceptional, fierce self-reliance. As an independent person, for me, it's hard to ask for help sometimes when needed. So how do you really take that fierce reliance in yourself, but at the same time know when to ask for help?
I know for sure when I need to ask for help, when I keep trying something and it is repeatedly failing or it's repeatedly not working. And I think at that point, I'm like, it's me. I'm the problem. And I need to seek a second opinion on, you know, what I'm doing, or maybe take the problem that keeps failing and take it to someone else and kind of put it on the table and be like, where is the hole in this, or what am I not seeing that's not working? Because sometimes you get too close to the project and you can't see the weaknesses in it. And it's personal, and, you know, with art, you're so close to it. And sometimes it takes 5 seconds of me presenting the problem to somebody and they are like, well, did you see that this thing is here? That is obviously causing the whole thing to crash from the beginning. And I'm like, no, I did not see that obvious, you know, sign from the beginning. So I feel like that's when I know to ask for help from somebody, because I'm like, I'm so sick of this not working that I need a second set of eyes or whatever to check it out and tell me what's going on with it. So that's how I operate and how I can, you know, be like, hey,
yeah,
I need you to look at this.
Yeah. Taking a step back often is, you know, what helps you see the whole picture, right? I know with whether I'm singing or I'm writing one of my books, that's why I always have people look at them and they're like, well, there's this huge plot hole here. Like, did you see that? And often I'm working on it for like a year and I'm like, wow, I actually didn't notice that. So I really resonate with that. Just taking a step back and letting other people look at it.
And I don't know if you've noticed this, but rarely am I like, you're wrong. Like, usually when the person is like, hey, did you think about this or did you see this? I'm like, no, I didn't. I did not. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
for sure.
Collaboration is truly awesome. That actually is a perfect segue into my next question. We're in a world today that really encourages collaboration and teamwork, which is great. I'm not poo-pooing collaboration and teamwork. It's awesome.
I agree.
But sometimes it's really hard, you know, when you're in a group of people, whether, you know, I'm in college now working in a group project, or whether you're working with other artists on songs. How do you stay true to your own decisions, you know, trust your inner voice when you're with all these people who may have different opinions than you?
That's really hard. That's really hard for me. And also, like, I never, especially if it is like a group project, a, you know, a collaboration, you never want to feel like, you know, totalitarian, you know, like my way or the highway,
exactly,
like
yeah.
You can't work with someone, like, because that's horrible. I feel like in those situations, if it's something that is my song as an artist, if we're going to talk about co-writing, like something like that specifically, and the group wants me to record it and me to sing it, I do put my foot down with disagreements. I'm like, we can take the song in this direction. You know, we can change the key. We can change the lyrics in this part. That's fine. But then we're going to have to pitch it out to another artist because I'm not, you know, that's not
right.
me and I'm not going to
yeah.
sing that. So then I feel like once I put that on the table, then it gives them something to think about.
Yeah.
You know, and so if they want to keep pushing the change, then we pitch it out. We try to get Kelsey Ballerini to sing it. You know, we
yeah.
try to pitch it. So mm-hmm. with stuff like that, I feel like that's easy for me to be like, I'm going to have to, you know, draw the line
yeah.
here
mm-hmm.
on being my way.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I was like, if you want me to go and leave, like, I'm good. Other situations, that's when I feel like you can really dig into truly creating like a something that's like a group collaboration where it's like something like WDIY, where it's, say you were trying to figure out like a graphic design of a new like advertisement or a poster mm-hmm. or whatever. That I would be more willing to concede
yes.
if my opinion weren't like, you know, the popular one, because it's not me.
Right, exactly.
I'd be like, well,
mm-hmm.
this is a group thing. If everyone likes this color and
mm-hmm.
I don't, majority wins in that case,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially if it's not mine.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not my poster, it's not my thing,
mm-hmm.
like that's okay, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I feel like some people really do have a great vision for what something should sound like, what something should look like. And so I feel like that I'm totally cool with stepping back on and stepping down
yeah.
from and still being a part of it and being like, look, my opinion did not win here, but obviously everyone else saw it, what the
yeah.
chosen thing was. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm happy with that. So
yeah.
yeah, it depends on if it's me, if it's not me.
Yeah.
So yeah.
There's a very fine line between like making sure something comes out the way you had envisioned and, you know, like I was talking about at the beginning, your own path that you love, versus also making sure everyone in the group is happy too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of hard to, it's kind yeah. of hard to juggle.
Well, and I didn't mention if it's like a paid thing, if they are paying me to.
Oh, that turns
yes,
out different. Yeah.
Yeah. To create an ad, you know, create a Reels video to, you know, if you're paid, I haven't gotten paid to write a jingle or anything like that yet, but I've talked to friends and artists who have written stuff like that. And, you know, they'll present the piece and be like, well, we really wanted you to include, you know, this, this, and this. So if it's like a commissioned work, obviously, you know, you also concede to that. But see,
yeah.
again, it's like it's a project and a product for someone else. And then
yeah.
they should lead that vision.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be you, but you can help them like create it and bring it to life.
Yeah, yeah. That's a hard thing. There's a lot of factors to think about
yeah.
there. A
yeah.
lot of factors.
Yes, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So kind of switching gears a little bit. You have a very specific and really interesting goal that you have set for yourself. So correct me if I get this wrong, but
okay.
you want to sing the national anthem 50 times this year in 2025.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That's just really cool.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
It started with, it still is, it's still ongoing, but I want to sing at all the major league ballparks.
Wow.
So yeah, and I've done 7 of those. And the beginning of the year, I noticed that the entire month of January, I was doing one anthem a week. And I was like, well, wait, what if I got to the end of the year and I did 50 and I completed
yeah.
that? So I just made it a thing that
yeah.
I wanted to do.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So quickly before we go into the break, like, how did you go about setting that really meaningful goal for yourself?
Probably by accident, Grace, to be honest. By total accident.
Most
so,
great ideas are, right?
You know, it's, well, I love to sing. So the goal is to sing, which is a very general goal. So if I can keep singing, you know, till the day that I die, that is the goal. I want to keep actively singing. I would like to keep getting paid to sing. That's a like a goal underneath the singing goal. So, and then underneath that, I really wanted to sing in stadiums. I've always wanted to sing in stadiums, arenas. I want to be on the floor of the Wells Fargo Center with thousands of people. So, you know, I always thought it would be on a tour, like I'd be opening for somebody. It's strange. So I set that intention and now I'm singing in stadiums, but it's not the way that I thought.
Yeah.
It's singing the anthem for sporting events, but I still am singing in stadiums.
Yeah.
So it's weird. So I got there just indirectly. So
that's like, really cool.
Yeah. Like that's I made really it happen, cool. but it's not what I thought it would look like.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's just very weird. So total accident.
Yeah.
How I got there. But
well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. More tips and tricks for your toolbox are coming up next. This month, I'm joined by singer-songwriter Kendall Conrad to talk about all things self-reliance and goal setting. Stay tuned. We'll be back soon.
For the past 3 decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Welcome back to 20's Toolbox. I've been talking with singer-songwriter Kendall Conrad about setting goals that mean something to you, trusting your own instincts, everything you need to follow your dreams. So let's jump right back in. Continuing the kind of setting meaningful goals topic we were talking about right before the break, how do you stay motivated when you're working toward long-term goals, whether that be you're collaborating with a team on a new song or, you know, doing anything like that? Like, how do you stay motivated when that progress may feel really slow and like it's dragging on, it's never ending?
See, that's hard for me to answer because, like, I'm long game. Like, I always kind of have been. Yeah. Like, there's really nothing that could deter me from being like, oh, I'm not into this anymore. I'm also probably stubborn and hard-headed. So I'm like, well, no, I'm going to make this work eventually. Right. This is just a bump in the road. Mm-hmm. I don't like it, and I'm not happy with it. But I know that when I get to the end, it's going to be so worth it. We talked about goals earlier. Like, if you can see the goal, like, I just picture myself on stage with my guitar in a sparkly outfit singing for people. And, like, I see it in my head and the visual of it. I'm like, that's what I want and I will get there. And I don't care, you know, how many challenges or whatever. I really don't. So, like, when I hit those things, it is frustrating. This is weird. I'm more, like, annoyed.
Oh, that's really interesting. I mean, it's a great mindset to have, but that's really interesting.
I'm like, can this thing please go away so I can continue on? And then I try to figure out how to move it out of my way. And sometimes the thing that needs to be moved is a person that is stonewalling you or is just not being helpful. And they're in a position where they can kind of stop you from opening a door. And you're like, can you please just let me in?
Yeah.
And that's when you have to get creative and you have to find another way in. You have to get somebody else to open a window for you. So, yeah, I feel like I more just get annoyed with roadblocks. And then I'm just like, you know, this is not going to stop me from moving forward. And I just need to find a different angle to get around this. So,
yeah. And I'm sure as a singer-songwriter, you're obviously very creative.
Yeah.
So.
You have to be. Yeah.
To get in the door.
You have to outsmart sometimes even yourself. You have to be like, okay, now I was hell-bent on doing it this way, and this is what I envisioned for it, and it's not happening. And I'm like, well, okay, if the goal is just, you know, like to sing, then I can find another way around that and let go of this specific route.
Yeah.
I've had to do that sometimes. Yeah. So. And I do eventually get there, but sometimes letting go of the way that you saw it happening is tough. So I'm like,
That really just hit me now. That really just hit me because I know I've talked about a lot on the show, but I went into college thinking I was a neuroscience major. I was pre-med.
What?
I was like, I was like, I'm going to go to med school. I'm like, this is going to happen. And everything just kind of changed.
Drastically.
I took a complete 180. Here I am. And so I still think about, I'm like, where would I have been maybe if I stayed where I was? So I'm glad I was able to kind of, like you said, let go of the way I thought it was going to happen and mm-hmm. just kind of embrace the way it has happened.
Right.
Because the way it has happened has turned out better than I imagined it.
Yes. Yes. I felt that. That was felt. I 100% agree with you on that. Letting go of things that you thought were the perfect thing. It's like, well, wait, this other thing was the perfect thing. I couldn't see it yet.
Right. Yeah. I think we have to go through certain things that maybe we don't love or that don't work out to realize that, you know, we were meant to be somewhere else the whole time.
Yes. So. Yes. Yep. That was perfectly said. Yeah.
So obviously taking that kind of topic, sometimes things don't go the way you want them to go. So what kind of role does failure or making mistakes or tripping up play in your goal setting process, and how do you overcome that?
I've been using TikTok more and trying to build my follower base on there, but there's an account on there that he interviews wealthy people. I forget what the heck it's called, but all he does is interview wealthy people, and they all keep saying that failure is great and it leads mm-hmm. you to success, and they're all like billionaires that he's talking to. So I'm like, they must know
right.
what's up.
They
and
must know
like,
something.
They're like, keep failing. It's great. Failure is great. And I'm just not in that boat. Like, I'm not in that mm-hmm. mindset, and I'm trying to be. So, like, after listening to these, you know, people obviously smarter, wealthier than I'm like, I should embrace failure. I feel like that's a good mindset to have. Like, failure is great. It's also, like, a signpost to be, like, this particular thing is not working, so now you can try something else. That I love, mm-hmm. but, yeah, I'm not good with failure. I never have been. I feel like, especially as an artist, failure for me with like my music in particular is like a rejection of me, if that makes mm-hmm. any sense. Yeah. But that's specific to me as a singer. So I feel like it's such a big part of me, and my songs are like, I'm writing about how I feel and experiences that I have. So if a song that I wrote or whatever isn't connecting, or if people don't like it, I feel like it's like, they don't like me, which that's not correct, yeah. but that's kind of what my brain says, you know, or when I have a bad performance, or like I beat myself up over and over, and it's not good, you know, and I'm just like, I'll nitpick and I'll go over every little thing that happened and how I could have gone back and fixed it and it could have been better. And it's just, it's not productive or healthy or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So I'm still not all the way there yet as far as being like, failure is actually great. But I'm trying to be, because I'm listening to all of these other people who, you know, are where I want to be. And they're saying that. So I'm like, okay, if I can adopt this mindset about it, you know, I feel like that'll help me, because they're all saying the same thing. So it must be true. Yeah. So I'm not
yeah, that's
not there
totally
yet.
Okay. It's really hard. I mean, kudos to you for even just having like the self-awareness that, you know, this is where I am right now, but this is where I want to be. And, you know, I'm working on that. I feel like some people don't have that courage or maybe can't see that. So mm-hmm. kudos to you for, you know, starting somewhere, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's, and knowing that one of my Achilles heels is I really don't like to lose. I don't like things to go wrong. I really, really, mm-hmm. really do not like it.
Yeah. So. And that motivates you to, get better, right? You know, like I just like, you know, yeah. I have this assignment coming up for school. It's a debate. Okay. And I'm like, I just really, like, I know it's okay if I lose, but I'm like, I just really don't I just don't want to. I don't want it to happen. I don't even want to think about it. So I'm just going in with like, I am going to win no matter what.
I think we might be the same person.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, that's the same. It's like, well, and it's corny to say, but it's like, failure is not an option. Like,
right.
I can't lose. Mm-hmm. I can't.
Yeah.
No, like that's no. Yeah. And then when I do, you know, in those situations where it doesn't work or you do lose or you don't come out on top, it's crushing.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, I did not see this happening for me, but it's still good for your growth.
Yeah.
It really is. And I'm trying to tell myself that instead of beating myself up about things I could have done better. Well, I can do better on the next one. That's the good part of it.
Good part of failure, right?
Yeah, I roll.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever ignored a gut feeling you've had? And what was the outcome of that? How did it you know, shape your journey or affect where you are now?
This is a weird answer to this. So I feel like I always follow my gut instinct, you know, but all of that with my music, my business, stuff like that. And to answer this question, I feel like with my relationships and personal, even like friendships, if I like you, you know, and I care about you, I will ignore every red flag, everything that says this person is not trustworthy, they really don't like me, they're using me, you know, whatever they're saying to me is a lie, blah, blah, blah. I will ignore every gut instinct that I have on that, and I sense if I'm like, oh, well, but I do care about them and they care about me. And like, I sometimes try to see the good in people that I should not, and I know, and I can feel that it's wrong, or whatever it is that they're telling me is wrong, and I will just completely ignore all of that and continue on. And that's something else that I'm working on. You know, I can do it with my career and my music and business, and I just can't do it like personally, which is so strange. So I have a good inner compass over here, but over here I just choose to completely ignore it. So yeah, that's been tough for me, and I've been burned a few times doing that, being like, no, this, you know, this is fine. I'm imagining it. Mm-hmm. These signs, these things aren't here, and my gut instinct is wrong, and I ignore it, and it always winds up coming back to bite me in the butt. So yeah.
But again, just having that self-awareness that this is something you're working on, like, mm-hmm. I think that's just... It might seem corny, but I just think that's really courageous of you
to
do that.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm not, I still don't feel all the way there yet, you know? Yeah. Like, I acknowledge that I do it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, how do I fix it?
Right. As we wrap up today, one kind of question for you to pull this all together. What advice do you have for a 20-something kind of struggling with self-doubt when trying to follow their instincts? Like, they know they want to do it, but there's just something holding them back.
The irony of this is that I feel like you can't take anyone's advice at the end of the day. Like, at the very end, when you're making a decision, I think you have to look inward and do it for yourself. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you can listen to, like, I'm close with my mom, and I'll go to her first for advice and things. And sometimes I don't take it, you know? And not necessarily, you know, the sentiment like, oh, it's my life, I'll do what I want. It's more just about, and again, I'm an artist, so like, you creating your life and you creating what you want it to look like and what you want it to be. And I just feel like anytime that I've overly listened to what someone else was telling me, and I felt like it didn't sit right, or it sounded great and it just was not working for me. And like, if you're self-doubtful, you just got to listen to yourself. That's so corny.
Yeah.
But
No, it's not. You know, you got to look at yourself and say, is this something that I really want? Like, take people's, I think it's important to take people's advice into thought, at least.
I
like,
agree.
Okay, that's like, nice.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I listen to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I love to hear people's takes on how they've created their life and what they're doing that's working. You know, you can try out other people's advice, which I've done. It doesn't mean you have to commit.
Exactly.
You know, if someone's like, you know what would be really cool? If you joined a swim team. Like, I have done, not that specifically, but, you know, when someone tells me something really, like, wild, they're like, you know what you should try? You should do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I will try it. I do. Yeah. I will say that for myself. So I will try out what people are telling me.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't sit right, I'll be like, I did it. I tried it. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
But I want something different.
Closing the chapter on that, you know, I tried it. And sometimes I will go back to the person and be like, hey, I tried swimming and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
You know, but I appreciate.
But at least you tried it.
Yeah. And I always let them know, like, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, that worked for them. And then that's when the self-doubt comes in. Well, if that works for them and I respect them and I admire them and it didn't work for me, I'm wrong. I'm broken. This doesn't, you know, there's something wrong with me. That's also something else that I feel like I have gotten over, where it's like, just because I respect someone and their advice didn't work for me, it doesn't mean that I won't reach their level of success or joy or happiness in their life. That just means that that worked for them and it doesn't fit for me, which is like fine and it's okay. Yeah. So that's good advice.
That's really powerful.
Yeah.
Really powerful.
Yeah.
One final question before we wrap up. This is something I ask all my guests. So kind of reflecting on your career, what's the best advice you've ever received?
You know, I've had a lot of really great advice. And again, some of it worked and some of it didn't, but it was all still great advice. I mean, I hate to use my mother. I really do. I hate to give her that. But because she hears a lot of me when I'm talking through situations that I don't know what I should do. And so sometimes I'll just sit and talk to her and it'll be me babbling on about, here's this option, here is that option. I really want to do this, but I feel like this is going to be better for me in the long run. Blah, blah, blah. And I'll go through the whole big long thing. And at the end of it, I'm like looking for her to kind of show me the way. She says, you will do what is right for you at the end of the day. So whatever you pick, even if it fails or whatever, she was like, I trust you to pick the thing that is right for you. She's like, I don't care if it's not something that I believed in or told you to do or whatever. For me, it's freeing. It's a very like freeing thought. Her kind of as my mom and someone who I look up to and have always looked up to, she's given me like the freedom too. You know, she's like, and I'm cool. It's kind of saying like she's cool with whatever I do too, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, it gives her blessing too. She's like, whatever you do is right for you. So
that's awesome. Amidst other things we've talked about, I think we both can agree. We both have pretty incredible moms. So really incredible moms.
Yes.
We're lucky in that way.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We really are.
Yeah. Kendall, this has just been so great. I want to thank you for coming on the show and for sharing your experience. I just think you're so cool, so courageous, so fierce.
Well, and I'm honored. I really am. That means a lot coming from you, so thank you.
Thanks again for joining me tonight, everyone. I've been talking with singer-songwriter Kendall Conrad about goal setting, self-reliance, and trusting your instincts. I'll see you next time. Have a good night, everyone.